This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Bit of a week, eh? Super Tuesday thrust Michigan even further into the spotlight as our state holds the next big Democratic primary next week. My guests are Matt Resch, a public relations consultant in Lansing and former Republican press secretary at the state capitol under the Engler administration. Matt, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And we're also joined by Greg Bowens, a public relations consultant in Detroit and former Democratic communications director at City Hall under the Archer administration. Hey, Greg, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. How are you?
I'm just great, I think, because we're almost to primary day. The endorsement derby has begun within the past 24 hours or so. We've seen Governor Gretchen Whitmer and Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist among those coming on board to endorse Joe Biden after his victories on Super Tuesday. And Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib and State Representative Isaac Robinson were among those lining up for Bernie Sanders. Greg, would you say these are the signs that Democratic voters are waiting for?
Well, it is something that folks have been waiting for, and I don't think that the way that the way that these are lining up is any different than what you would normally expect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The same people that endorsed Hillary last time are endorsing Biden this time, and that endorsed Bernie last time are endorsing him this time. And so I think that Michigan is such a proud state, you know, and we often do the unexpected when it comes to primary voting, whether it's voting for Jesse Jackson or Bernie Sanders last time.
Right.
And so I think that there may be a bit of a surprise here when it comes to Michigan. And the choices seem pretty clear when it comes down to either Joe or Bernie. On the one hand, do you want things to go back to normal? Are you tired of waking up with your hair on fire because of the latest thing that Trump did? And so if so, you kind of want to lean towards Joe. On the other hand, if you're just still dissatisfied with the system, with the way people are displaced, and you don't want to see us go back to a sense of normalcy that really locks people out, traps people in poverty and things of that nature, then you may be leaning more towards Bernie.
To bust in here, but Bernie Sanders pretty famously pulled off an upset in 2016, as you mentioned, winning Michigan at a time when everyone thought that Hillary Clinton was just going to be unchallenged in the state. And I got to say, it felt like, I know I'm a newcomer, but it felt like there was a certain amount of assurance about Michigan from the Sanders campaign until Wednesday morning. Is that, I wanted to ask both of you if that was your read on this as well.
I think their ground shook big time on Tuesday. And I think that things they thought were, I'm not going to say certain, but certainly counting on Michigan. I woke up to headlines Wednesday morning saying things like, you know, where Sanders folks were seeing once solid Michigan now in question, those kinds of things. And then the poll that came out from the Detroit News that next day that showed that Biden was ahead. I think things have shifted quickly. They've shifted dramatically. And you saw with Governor Whitmer and former Governor Granholm coming on to endorse Biden. I think that is where the momentum is going for sure. And the Sanders folks, I'm not sure that they can do much to stem the tide.
We'll talk a little bit more about elections in a minute, but I wanted to get to a couple of other stories that might have gotten slightly buried by all the election news this week. Maybe the big news this morning was State Senator Pete Lucido's punishment. He has been relieved of one of his committee chairmanships. Folks will remember that several women who work in journalism and politics at the state's capital said that Pete Lucido was inappropriate with them, either in terms of comments or inappropriate touching. And the Republican leadership's investigation of Pete Lucido has now wrapped. At this point, he's still chair of the Senate Judiciary and Public Safety Committee, but he has been relieved of his chairmanship of an advice committee and still sits on a couple more committees that he does not chair. Matt, how severe do you see this punishment being?
You know, I think it's unique because of the situation of having a Democratic governor and the position he was with the chair of advice and consent. I think you could make the argument if it was another Republican that would be a completely meaningless punishment. That committee would do nothing. But you've seen in just the last couple of weeks the stature that committee is having in rejecting two of the governor's appointees to the DNR commission. And so you know, I've worked in the legislature for a long time, and I would say that I would call it unprecedented, really, to have a committee stripped. It does not happen very often. There are not very many ways you can punish a sitting legislator. You can't kick them out of office. You can cut their budgets. You can reduce their staff. But for a guy who loves to hear himself talk, and to a guy who loves to see headlines and to be on the radio and to be on TV, to take a platform like that away from him, where he was going head to head with the governor and her appointees, might be the biggest thing and the worst thing you could do to the guy.
You know, I was looking at his statement that he released after the investigation came out. I don't know if you two saw this in full, but he basically maintained that he did not sexually harass anyone. There was nothing resembling an apology in there, and said that the allegations could not have been unequivocally substantiated. Greg, do you think Pete Lucido struck the right note?
No, I don't. And I think it's going to come back to haunt him during the election time. What does it take to say that you made a mistake and to keep it moving? Although this legislature, I will say this, here in Michigan, we seem to be pretty aggressive about punishing state legislators. The guy that got indicted and, you know, they removed him. We've had people who have actually been censured by the state legislature when they were facing some kind of criminal conduct. But in this kind of situation, to just stand defiant probably speaks more of the Trumpian era that we're in right now, you know? Mm-hmm. And is it really a punishment? I don't know. If they would have stripped him of all his committeeships until he had completed some training and then made, you know, some kind of apology following up, then that would send, I think, a stronger signal. I'm not saying you need to, like, you know, remove him from the legislature for this. But if you're going to take steps to address it, then, you know, address it like you would with an employee. You know, that person would be removed until they got, you know, this situation straightened out, got some training, or they would be fired. And so, I don't know, man. It's interesting the way that this thing played out, and you wondered, on the one hand, are we going too far with the response? Was it just an off-color joke? You know, at the same time, you can see your daughter or yourself, you know, in that kind of position, and when you're working there and you have someone as powerful as he is cracking a joke on you in front of young people, diminishing you as a person in front of these young people, I don't think that's good.
You know, Senator Valerie McMorrow, who had her own role to play in all this, observed that she sees people in Lansing participating less in a hugging culture and things moving more to a handshake culture ever since the Lucido story broke. Matt, is that your observation as well?
I've seen it. I saw it within days of it all breaking, just a difference in how everyone was talking and interacting with each other. Some of them doing it kind of in a joking way, oh, we got to be careful now kind of thing, and other people taking it legitimately and very seriously. I think Senator Lucido's statement that he put out this morning, I think, is a look into what Senator Shirky and Senator Ananick knew of him, and anyone who knows him knows, that even though the lawyers came back and said, we can't prove this 100%, we believe them. And I think people who know him know that they can believe the women who came forward with these stories, because they've worked with him, they've observed him, and he has not done a single thing in his career to earn the benefit of the doubt on this kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay, as we wrap things up, let's have it. I need your predictions for the primary results out of Michigan and what may be one of the most closely observed ones in living memory from a national perspective. Matt, would you care to go first?
Well, I think Joe Biden is going to win. I think that he is going – it was a unique situation 4 years ago. I think that we saw that for whatever reason, Michigan voters just did not like Hillary Clinton when it came to – the primary, and then we saw it again in November. No one thought that she would lose the primary, and certainly no one thought she was going to lose on Election Day. I don't think that Joe has whatever issues Hillary had. I don't think Joe has them. I think that he connects to a.
You mean ovaries? Sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, Joe, that is true. But I think Joe has a connection to a working class voter that she was never able to connect with. And I think we'll see that play out on Tuesday.
Greg, how about you? What do you think?
I'm not so sure. I think Michigan voters, we may surprise the establishment again. And the reason why I say that is because we're still heavily union. Folks remember NAFTA and Joe Biden's support and help creation of NAFTA. And so we're talking about a Democratic primary. Now, you know, if this was a general election, I wouldn't say this so harshly, but, you know, Democratic primary voters tend to be the ones that, like on the Republican side, tend to be the ones that pay more attention than anybody else to what's going on. And I think they'll remember these things. So I would have to give it like a toss up. I might lean it more towards Bernie in this situation, although I do know that, you know, the general sort of feeling is that you want to have Joe face off with Trump. But that's not even a guarantee the way he's bumbled. And I like Joe Biden. I mean, you know, he was good enough for Obama in many ways. People say if he's good enough for Obama, he's good enough for me. And I totally get that. But the way that he bumbles on stage and the way that Trump is already set up calling him Sleepy Joe and the whole like Ukrainian thing. I mean, you can see the strategy, the thunder, you know, unfolding right now. And Bernie doesn't have that kind of baggage with him. I'll go out on a limb and say Bernie may squeak through.
Guys, thank you very much for being here. We've been talking with Matt Resch, public relations consultant in Lansing, and Greg Bowens, who is a public relations consultant in Detroit. I guess we'll see you on the flip side of the primary.
Sounds good. Thank you.